آل محمد وعلى كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخواني من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات صلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله زاكيات لله طيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. التحيات لله صلوات لله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات صلوات طيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, the past few majlises we had been discussing a very important hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned arba'un idha kunna feek, if four qualities are in you, fala alayka ma fataka dunya, then you should not be worried, concerned, do not stress, do not bother. If you don't get the entire world, if you miss the entire world, but if you have these four qualities, then this is much more superior, better than the entire world. Imagine having the entire world and losing it. But if you have these four qualities, they don't bother. If you don't do not possess the entire world even, if you have these four qualities. What are these four qualities? We will discuss three so far. Just to recap, sidqu hadithin, speaking the truth, being honest. We discuss sidq in detail, different forms of sidq. Our loyalty to Allah, being honest and true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being honest and true to people. And when we speak especially, we should be truthful. Then we spoke about hifz amana, that we should be preserving, protecting trust. When people entrust us with something, then we should not breach the trust. We should not be disloyal. We should not make khiyana. And we discussed this in detail as well, the meaning of amana, etc. And then the last majlis we discuss, وَحُسْنُ خَلِيقَةٍ, having good character. You mentioned that the most weightiest deed on the scales of a believer on the day of Qiyamah will be good akhlaq, good character. So this also we discussed in detail. And today the last quality. So we had three so far, being truthful, honest, صِدْقُ حَدِيثٍ, when we speak, truthfulness in our speech, حِفْظُ أَمَانَةٍ, protecting any trust that we have been entrusted with, good akhlaq, and the fourth one, وَعِفَّةٌ فِي تُعْمَةٍ, وَعِفَّةٌ فِي تُعْمَةٍ, and being very careful as to what we eat. We should be only consuming that which is halal. And this topic also we have spoken several times before, but because it is mentioned in this hadith, and it is a very important quality, we should be reminding ourselves of ensuring that whatever goes into our system, every single morsel should be absolutely halal and wholesome, pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Quran, and one verse that I recited, Allah has commanded the Rasuls, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya ayyuha rusulu, O messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat that which is tayyib. Tayyib, wholesome, pure, halal. One is halal, and the other one is, it must be wholesome, beneficial. So, kulu min at-tayyibat, wa'amalu saliha, and do good deeds. Ulama say that by eating halal, this has an effect on our a'mal, and we are able to do good deeds. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, he has mentioned that a person who eats halal, man akala halalan, ata'a Allah, sha'a'u aba. That a person, when he consumes halal, the automatic result of that will be, he will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless whether he wants or does not want, whether he wishes to do some good deed or not, automatic effect of eating halal, it will make the person do some good deed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has exhorted us in various ayats of Quran, in hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in ensuring that we eat halal, earn halal. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ طَلَب, the acquisition of halal, earning halal. Person goes out in the morning and he makes an effort to bring some food back home, some money, he has to pay his rent and water, lights, food, expenses. So a person goes out. This talab he's making, this acquisition, talabu kasb al halal, that which is halal, it is a compulsion after the other compulsory acts, salah, zakat, hajj, etc., fasting. These are all faraid. After these faraid, just like that is talabu kasb al halal. Allah wants a person to go out and earn his own rosy. The husband will go out, he'll bring back, he'll earn, and he'll provide food for the family. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not encourage us to beg and set our hands to people. In fact, in the hadith he has mentioned, the gist of the hadith is that a person goes out and he carries wood on his back. In other words, he has chopped some wood for the trees and he has made this bundle of wood, carrying it on his back and earning halal in this way by selling that wood. It is better than begging from people. لا يدخل الجنة جسد وضي بالحرام. That body which has been nourished through haram shall not enter Jannah, shall not enter paradise. So we can see the effects of haram. Ulama then explain, because a person has iman, etc., ultimately he will go into Jannah, but because he consumed haram, initially he will be deprived of going into Jannah. When the rest of the people in the gates of Jannah open, and the awwaleen, the first people who will enter, he will not be able to go with them. First, he will be punished for his sins in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect all of us. So, this subject on earning halal, one is, our earning has to be halal. And the second thing, we must consume that which is halal. This is a December period, holiday period, you'll find many people traveling, people coming from other provinces. It becomes such that a person does not care. He does not bother whether he is consuming halal or haram. So we have to be extremely cautious. Check whether we are eating that which is halal or not. Hadith of Rasulullah says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time will come over people. لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ. A man will not bother. He will not be concerned from where he is taking his food. What is his earnings? The source of his earnings, the source of his income. أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Whether it is from halal or haram. So, by consuming haram, by earning that which is haram, that lahmun nabata ala suhtin will not enter Jannah. That body which has been nourished by haram will not enter Jannah. A person will deprive himself of his du'as being answered. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiban." Allah is pure. Allah only accepts that which is pure. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described a man who yutilu safar, undergoes a long, tedious journey, a very long journey. He's tired, his hair is disheveled, body full of dust, and his hair is unkempt, he's covered with dust. Any person looking at him will feel sorry for him, will feel pity for him, he'll want to assist him, he'll want to help him. So this is the condition of the person, this traveler. And then he raises his hand, begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill his hajat and needs. But Rasulullah says, وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَرْكَبُوا حَرَامٌ وَقَدْ غُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. All things is haram. His nourishment, his eating, his drinks, all is haram, haram sources. His clothing from haram sources. His conveyance from haram sources. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How will such a person dua then be answered? So, immediate effect on the dua of the person. Dua is not accepted. How often we ask, I'm making so much of dua, but I don't see any effects of my dua being answered. We got to check our lives. Am I consuming halal or haram? What is my income? Am I cheating, deceiving? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, there was one time of his life where he spent 40 days in solitude. And those years, the ibadah that they used to make, we cannot never ever compare our ibadah to their ibadah. In solitude, making a lot of ibadah, 40 days passed and he didn't feel any nur or kafiyat in his life. He sensed there was something wrong. He goes to his mother even. Oh, my respected beloved mother, did you ever consume haram? She said, beta, I've been so cautious my entire life. He himself was very cautious. She made dua, she pondered and reflected. That every possible thing she did in life, everything seemed to be perfect. She was very, very conscious of halal. No haram went into her system. But then she recalled when she was pregnant, one day she was feeling like eating some boar. And many times a woman who is pregnant, they get some craving of eating certain things, sometimes it's sour, sometimes sweet. So this boar tree of the neighbor, the branches were coming onto their side, and the one boar she just plucked, and she ate one little boar without taking permission from the neighbor. And the effect of this, these were pious people, Allah Ta'ala made these things happen to them. They were not sinful, or they didn't commit deliberate sin. She made an error, she forgot to ask the person. The effect of this was that he could not feel the effect of his ibadah. He tells his mother, please go and ask that person for forgiveness. She says, so embarrassing, how will I go and ask? Then he insisted and she went. And the neighbor was shocked and surprised. Who's going to ask ma for one boar? No problem at all. The moment he said that, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he made another 40 days of solitude ibadah and immediately he felt noor in his heart. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentions, the effect of haram in our bodies is such, number one, the noor of our heart will vanish, it will disappear. The spiritual noor that pushes us to do good, to make the dhikr of Allah, tilawat of the Quran, to have that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first thing he says, the effect of haram is that the noor from the heart goes away. And second point is, he says, that the person will only have evil thoughts. Evil thoughts all the time. He'll want to do haram. The third thing he mentioned, it makes a person physically lazy. He's got no nashat in him. He's not active to do the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth one, similar to the second one, is he gets no inclination towards doing good. One morsel of haram, and the effect is such that now there's no inclination towards doing any good. So these are the four harms that Thanwi Rahmatullahi Ali has mentioned. Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi was a tyrant ruler. And he killed thousands of ulama. There's many, many incidents regarding him, but we're not going to go in that direction now. When he became the ruler, or he became in charge of the area he was governing, he invited the ulama, and such ulama were mustajabu da'awat, whose dua was generally readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf knew that he looked at the people before him. When a person came as a ruler, and if he did not rule properly, or he was unjust, then these ulama will make dua, but dua against him, and that will lead to his destruction. So he called these ulama, and he gives them a dawat. He feeds them. And then they partake of that meals. And after they have partaken of that meals, he says, now you can raise your hands in dua. I have got no fear that your baddua will get me, that your curse will afflict me, because I fed you with haram. Imam Qushayri rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, the Salafi Salihin, they were more conscious and particular and worried and concerned about eating halal than even tahajjud salah. Imagine. Why? A man can be a tahajjud guzar, a woman can be a tahajjud guzar, but if the food that we are eating is haram, the earning is haram, then that will have an effect on our tahajjud, the tahajjud won't be accepted. The hadith of Rasulullah says, a person purchases a garment of 10 dirhams, and only 1 dirham is haram. 9 dirhams is halal. Just 1 dirham was haram. The effect of that is Allah will not accept the salat of that person for 40 days or as long as that person has that garment on his or her body. As long as you're wearing that garment, your salat will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are things that we should be reflecting upon. And we should ensure our earning is halal. How often a person, he contributes to a masjid, to a madrasa, to some organization, perhaps giving towards some well, borehole, whatever it is, but his income is haram. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah does not accept that charity of that person. It is haram. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, the grandson, beloved grandson of Rasulullah, small, young. So in the house, he sees one date. He picks it up, puts it into his mouth. Little child, who is so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment he puts his date, Rasulullah tells me, Kahin, take it out. So the little child asks, Ya Rasul, why? He says, no, that we are, for us, in other words, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're from Ahl Bayt, it was not permissible for them to eat from Sadaqah. So there was this possibility, that this date was not from the household people, it was somebody had given for distribution, it was Sadaqah, and he took this deed from there. It was just a possibility. But because there was a doubt, it falls under mushtabihat, doubtful things. Therefore, Rasulullah prevented him from eating this deed. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala would then quote the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. Leave out that, da'ma yuribuk, which causes restlessness in your heart. You're not feeling happy and you're not feeling content. You're not feeling that peace and serenity in your heart. You're not relaxed.
you have this doubt that it could be haram. Leave it out. إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ, towards that which does not create any doubt in your heart. Simple thing, you're buying some biscuit. You know this one is genuinely halal. There's no problem with it. And next to it is some new biscuit that's come into in the market. But you're looking at the ingredients. You're not 100% of it. You have some type of doubt that it could be haram. Leave it out. Take that which is halal. You won't die by not having the other one. Rasulullah explained about mushtabihat. A person, a king, he has a sanctuary. And that is reserved for him only. He's got his animals, his pasture, his grazing place for his animals, special area. It's demarcated for him. There's a board, there's a sign in the explanation of the hadith. The hadith does not say this, but to explain that as though like we have a board to say do not come near. How we have trespassers will be prosecuted. This is just reserved for the king. But around that, the entire field and that meadow, you can graze your animal wherever you wish. But the more closer you come towards this demarcated area, which is specifically for the king, then there is a possibility your animal will graze and go into that area. Like that. إِنَّ الْحَلَالُ بَيِّنٌ وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ كَالرَّاعِي يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. A person has got his animals, and if he takes it closer to the special place, demarcated area for the king, exclusive for him, then it is possible that this animal will go into that, and that's prohibited. You'll be putting yourself into difficulty. You'll be penalized by the king. Like that, you are going towards those things that are doubtful. It may lead you into haram. Why go so close to doubtful things? Refrain from anything that causes doubt. That's a simple principle. Hazrat Mufti Saeed Palanpuri rahmatullahi alayh was a very great Sheikh al Hadith of Darum Dioban, very great Mufti, very great Alim scholar. Many of our ulama studied by him as well. So he mentioned about his father. His father's name was Yusuf. He was studying in Dabail. And during his studies, there was some need for him to go back to his village. There was some condition. So he goes. At that time, his ustad was Maulana Badri Alam Rahmatullahi Ali. And Maulana Badri Alam Rahmatullahi Ali is a very, very, was a very great alim, a sage of his time. He's buried in Madinah Munawwara in Jannatul Baqi. There are many, many, many things about him. So nonetheless, he takes advice, parting advice from his ustad. So his ustad, Maulana Badri Alam Rahmatullahi Ali, gives him one ustad. Say, Yusuf, you came back to your village, and your village is famous for getting indulged in sood interest. Therefore, be very careful. Quran and interest, they did not gel. It will affect you. He says, from that time, my father was extra cautious, very cautious. That every single luqma that went into our bellies, it was absolutely halal. So we find that his sons became ulama, and there were many ulama in that family. They ensured that they ate, they partook of no haram. Anything that created doubt in amongst the Salafi Salihin, they would refrain from it. Not just one small amount, there were times when thousands and thousands of dinars or rupees they had actually discarded. They refrained from accepting it merely on a doubt that it could be haram. Just on the doubt, because it was doubtful, they said, we are not going to take it. Even though I'm an heir and it's coming as part of my warsu, as we say, part of my share, but because there's a slight doubt, I will not take it. Hazrat Thani Rahman himself, there was some doubt, he refrained from taking it. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali heard that there was in the time in Jalalabad where he was not too happy with the type of transaction deal that was made when the people had purchased the mangoes from the farmers. Farmers had this crop, the tree, trees in which there was mangoes, but the deal, the transaction that took place, created some type of doubt. Because of the doubt, he never partook of mangoes for that period. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi in Kufa, on one occasion, a goat was stolen. They could not find the goat, they did not know who stole it. He goes to the butchers and asks them, how long does a goat survive, for how many years? They said 6-7 years. For that period of time, he never ate any goat meat. Why? He had this fear that perhaps that goat meat, that goat was stolen, that meat must not come into my system. They were so careful, so particular. Like this, there are so many other examples. There was a person in Deoband, Shaji Rahmatullahi. He would earn absolutely halal, and they say he would give dawah to the great ulama of that time, people like Azamul Qasim Nanwati Rahmatullahi and others. And every like 2-3 months, he would give them a simple dawah. But the effect of that meal was such that Mawla Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, for months after that, we could feel the noor of the food that we partook at his house. That we would wait for the next occasion when he will invite us. We eat, we drink, nothing happens to us. Allah forgive us, we don't care about the wrongs that we indulge in, the transactions, we take qasam, we lie, we cheat, involve in various things, fraud. Sometimes just because to make extra profit and gain, we know that's backdoor goods. We know there's some doubt in it. It's not possible to get it for so cheap. We don't find out and we buy it just to make some extra money. But what is the effect of all that? Du'as won't be accepted. Allah won't be happy with us. Person will not enter into Jannah. Hazrat Mawla Rahmatullahi, Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullahi, used to always mention the story of his one ustad, Mawla Hamid Mia Rahmatullahi Alayh. Mawla used to say that this ustad of his was so simple. He say, ek baghal ke niche kitab, usi baghal ke niche murghi. So simple. He had kitab in one under his one arm and a fowl under the other arm. So, a simple person. This was his halal rozi. He would go out and he would cut some grass, some hay, and make a bundle, go sell it. With that money, he would invite the ulama, the asatiza of Darul Ulum Deoband, Mawla Ibrahim Balyawi Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Sheikh Fakhruddin Rahmatullahi, and the senior asatiza. And they would actually enjoy taking up or going for that dawat. It was a very simple food. In fact, our Mawla Rahmatullahi says that he became so close to this ustad, because when he went to Deoband, he went a bit late, the year had already started, and in the madrasa syllabus, there is something that we do, is called sarf, etymology, it's in, for Arabic. So he had to learn this. So the first day when Mawlana went to him, he said, in my broken Urdu, I didn't know Urdu, I asked him that, please, I need to learn this, can I come to you? Because he was a ustad and experienced in that particular subject. So he said, okay, bara baje aana, come at 12 o'clock. At night. So he was actually testing our Mawlana Rahmatullahi. See how genuine he was. So Mawlana said, 12 o'clock at night I went. First day he taught me, second day, third day. After a couple of days, he realized, no, that I'm genuine, I'm sincere, I want to study. Then he told him, no, come to me in the evenings or some other time. And even after Mawlana qualified, he came back, he used to write to him and always try and assist this particular ustad. When Mawlana Rahmatullahi went there, after he got married, then this ustad was so happy. He said, dulha or dulhan aa rahi hai. So he, in his own little small house, he plastered that house and the wall, because he got so happy that my student is coming, and he let them stay in his house. So he would give his income was absolutely halal. Simple food, halal earning. And the effect of that was such that noor and taqwa would come into their lives. Allah Ta'ala grant all of us noor and taqwa. Allah help us to seek that which is halal. Our income must be halal. Stay away from anything that is doubtful. Of course, you don't create a doubt for no reason. It's a genuine doubt. And stay away from any type of haram. Then inshallah we'll find the barakah of all what we are reading, doing, etc. Our sadaqat will be accepted, du'as will be accepted. Then we have got these four qualities. Then even if you miss the dunya,
But we have no problem if we ask truthfully in our speech and we protect the trust that we have been entrusted with. We have good akhlaq and we make sure we eat that which is halal and wholesome. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah jami' amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Yes, I do.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu. La nuhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma ya awwal al-awwalin wa ya akhir al-akhirin wa ya dhal quwwati al-matin wa ya rahim al-masakin wa ya arham al-rahimin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك، فاغفر لنا وتب علينا، فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا، أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر، لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله ما لغناكم معافرما، يا الله forgive us completely my Allah. يا الله cleanse and purify our hearts. يا الله make us become nek and salih. يا الله يا الله make us have only halal earnings my Allah. Make us consume only that which is halal my Allah. Help us to refrain from even that which is doubtful, my Allah. Especially that which is haram, my Allah. Make us do good deeds, my Allah. Increase our iman, my Allah. Give us tawfiq of doing a'mali salihah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the jazba, ya Allah. Ya Allah, in our hearts to do good, my Allah. Don't make us have evil tendencies and evil thoughts, my Allah. Protect us from haram completely, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the best of dunya, best of akhirat. Then all of us, afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, Ya Allah, give us, Ya Allah, sukoon in our life, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the sweetness of iman, my Allah. The sweetness of begging from you. The sweetness of sajda. The sweetness of your dhikr, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many people are not well, my Allah. Grant all those who are sick, Ya Allah, grant them shifai kamil, ajil, mustaqir, daim. All the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus. Grant the family sabri jameel. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protect the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Help the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially in those countries where there is war taking place, my Allah. Where there is zulam taking place, my Allah. Allah, remove the zalimin, my Allah. Allah, give a Muslim ummah, Ya Allah. Happiness, my Allah. Grant them afiyat, my Allah. Allah, give them barakat, my Allah. Allah, give them izzat, my Allah. Allah, protect us, Ya Allah, from the onslaught of the kuffar and mushrikeen, my Allah. Allah, especially in Gaza, my Allah, in Sudan, in many other areas, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us mawti in Madina Sharif. Bury in Jannatul Baqi, my Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Qiyamah. The Hudi Kotir water from his Mubarak hands. Ya Allah, make us in the Jannat without any hisab kitab. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, accept whatever khidmat of deen is taking place. Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas and maqbooliyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our children, grandchildren, the kullus of our eyes. Make them excellent hufad, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbooleen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, hazirin, ghaibin, sabki dua, qabool farma. Ya Allah, whatever hajat our brothers and sisters have today, my Allah. We have raised our hands to you, my Allah. Ya Qadi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Bariyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat, اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاحها رحمة تغنينا بها رحمة من سواك ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون سلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.